It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde and the Dr. Brian Bulaga talking Packer football. It's as good as it gets. And it's led by the doctor because he is so nice. Brian Bulaga, take it away.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm irritated with the crazy old man. He's nice too, so let's not pretend that Brian's the only one who's nice. You just don't want to waste any time asking how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. I have a question, though. Brian Bulaga, with all that NFL money you made and now all that Good Karma Brands money you're raking in, do you mow your own lawn?
Of course he does.
You're a good man.
If I
had your money, I wouldn't.
Well, no, the question is, why doesn't he have his kids mow the lawn? That's what I want to know.
No, so Maddie's asking to mow the lawn, too, and I just, you know, I just don't. She's got such a bright future. If I cut my finger off doing something stupid, you know, I've had a good run with those fingers.
Well, Brian had that weird look at me, like, when I said, why don't your kids mow the lawn? What?
He's not ready yet. He's not ready yet.
That's a smart dad right there.
He's not ready yet. I know he's not ready yet.
Just out of curiosity, how old is he?
He just turned 10.
And you have special football plays that you give this team that he's on, right?
That's on a wristband, though. That's direction. I mean, you see that, you know.
I'm not going to waste time arguing with you because you're not going to change. I learned that about a college degree. Take it away, nice guy.
Oh, wow. Look at, again, subtle jabs. I mean, that's just amazing. All right, Jason. So when we talked on your show, you told me about the left tackle situation. Did it repeat itself the following practice that you went down to? Did that stay the same way?
This was barely a practice. I mean, it really was. I mean, and then McManus kicked a 58-yard field goal. So then they ended practice early. Like, it was, you know, for a team and for a coach who was talking about how, you know, the off season had been, you know, basically condensed because they had the week virtually because of the draft, and then they let him go early because of the quick turnaround for training camp. And, of course, the rules that are in place for the off season program, thanks to the, you know, Jeff Saturdays of the world, I don't know how super productive it was, but you know, Sheed was not practicing. I think they were just being smart with him. But the fact of the matter is that competition, as you astutely put it, that starts in training camp. And anything that they were doing, I mean, again, Donovan Jennings worked with the starters again, this time at center for a period of time. Kadeem Telfort took the left guard reps. Like, it was a whole thing. So, again, this is why, as both you and Tausch made very clear, this is why we're not putting a whole lot of stock in what goes on in June in today's NFL.
Yep. I get you on that. So essentially what you're saying is, so are they done with the minicamp? Is the minicamp over?
It's over. Donezo.
Okay.
You know, they had another half hour to go, which would have been nice since they moved it up a half hour, and then I had to get there late because, you know, the wildly popular Wilde and Tausch program. So I didn't even get to see a whole heck of a lot, which kind of stuff. It ended before the show ended. Practice ended at 11:30. Show was still going on. Crazy.
No. Wow. So essentially this was a mini camp that was essentially kind of a slower paced OTA. Like, it was like an OTA, slow paced OTA.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. And so, you know, one of the questions I asked LaFleur yesterday was, you know, how much do you find out given the constraints about Jacob Monk, right? Because that's, you know, obviously a guy that took the lion's share of all the center snaps. I mean, except when Donovan Jennings, I still can't believe LaFleur yesterday, by the way, when somebody asked him about Donovan Jennings getting guard reps with the first team and him admitting he didn't realize that had happened.
Oh my gosh.
So Donovan, you're you got some work to do to make an impression on the head coach. But look, there are a couple of things that I think, before I ramble away the segment, we need to touch on. One, Mecole Hardman had two big time touchdown catches. One was an unbelievable, majestic 70 plus yard throw from Jordan Love to end yesterday's practice. The day before, it was a absolute prayer heave into traffic from about 30 yards out from Sean Clifford that he elevated and grabbed with one hand. Again, they're in shorts and helmets. Nobody's tackling. I'm guessing in a real NFL game, he would have been crunched and he would have had a hard time holding on to the football. But the bottom line is that he made impressions. And if you think about what they have at wide receiver now, and if we think maybe Watson is going to be back sooner rather than later, you know, sooner than November like T.J. Hockenson was with the same timeline, you're talking about Watson, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Melton, Heath, Golden, Savion Williams, and Mecole Hardman. That is 9 guys at the wide receiver position that you could argue all deserve a spot on a roster.
And your order,
not all
please.
9 will be on this roster. Well, no. I mean, look, I'm a, you know, you and I went round and round yesterday about Bo Melton. I will bet you breakfast at Ted's and the purchase of one goat for what's the help for hands, helping hands for Haiti? What's it called?
Help for health, help in Haiti, whatever. Help for health, and I can't even remember it. But it's goats.
All right, I'm going to get a goat either way. So,
but I'm not going to bet you. You're going to say he's on the team.
I am going to say.
All right, we're going to bet on whether or not he'll ever play one down at quarterback, which means this whole thing was made up.
We're not betting because it was certainly some good misdirection. But anyway, Brian, my point is that not all those guys.
Friends
are
for health in Haiti, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we know that Watson's going to start the season on PUP, right? Like, I mean, obviously that's going to – right? Or so, no? Am I wrong on that?
Well, so, I think you're right, but – and let me get the quote here, because I asked LaFleur about that. I also asked him about Elton. Like, there were interviews going on at the same time, so it was kind of a skeleton crew in the press conference, which helps me. Not because my questions are so long, but because there's not as many people to beat to the punch, and I'm not very good at that. But I asked him about Elton. I asked him a couple of other things. Really good answer, by the way, at the end of the press conference. I think he knows I think he believes in his heart he's got a really good team and didn't want to come out and say it's Super Bowl capable, but be that as it may. Asked him specifically if it was hard for him to not get his hopes up based on what he's seen from Watson. And because, look, I will admit that I said that it was going to be the timeline like Hockenson. Like, you don't want to jeopardize the guy's career by bringing him back too fast, but he looks phenomenal. Now, he's not cutting, but he's running at more than what would appear to be half speed on his own in a straight line. He's doing a lot of the stretching and other stuff that they do as a team at the beginning. I mean, he looks, for being 5.5 months out from surgery, he looks pretty good. So yeah. I'm willing to acknowledge that I might be wrong. I still think late October, early November is more realistic, but I asked LaFleur, are you allowing yourself to get your hopes up that he could be back earlier than you originally expected? And he said, probably not, to be honest. It is what it is. The guys that are available, that's who you coach. I said, yeah, but come on. Like, he looks really good. And he said, it is exciting to see how far along he is. He's been doing a great job. He attacks it the right way. He will give us a boost whenever that is, whenever he comes back. I expect him to give us a boost. So you're probably right. I don't think he's going to be back like for the opener. But if he starts on PUP, You're talking 4 or 5 weeks into the season. Maybe he's ready after the bye week, and they've got that early bye, so maybe he's ready in October sometime.
So I just look. I'm just trying to, you know, we talked 9 receivers, right? Like, and I'm just putting this mm-hmm. in my head, and then we put him on PUP. Now we're down to 8. So now we're looking at this thing with 8 guys that we have to figure out, right? Like, I mean, we're obviously we got Golden in the third round pick. They're not going anywhere. Obviously, we know
right.
that. So there's two off the board. We know Wicks and Reed are not going anywhere. So there's 2 more off the board. So there's 4. So
Watson's not going off the board.
Yeah. So
right, but he's not gonna, if he's not available to start the season, Brian and I aren't counting him for the opening part
right.
of the year.
Okay.
For the
yeah.
year. That's why.
Okay. So there's 4. So now we're left with Dobbs. We're left with Melton. We're left with Hardman, and we're left with who's the last one?
Yeah, I think, look, the challenge, there's a couple things, right? I mean, and you know this as well as anybody because it happened to you on family night in 2013. Sometimes really rotten luck makes these decisions for you, right?
Yep.
Like sometimes a guy gets hurt, suffers a major injury, and then you don't have to figure out, oh, do we need to trade Romeo Dobbs to the Steelers because they need wide receiver help? Or whatever it might be. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I still think even though Hardman made those plays, I think you look at his track record, Homer's brought it up, he's caught only a handful of balls the last couple of years. I think he's probably the one who's fighting the biggest uphill battle. They have kept 7 before. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but then obviously you got to short yourself somewhere else. The question I have is, did Kadeem Telfort and Travis Glover play themselves out of the mix for a roster spot? And again, they're going to have the chance in training camp to reverse that. But mm-hmm. the way they both played when Elton went out in Philly, that left a mark, like getting hit by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from the Miz. So, or 103, I guess he throws. But I don't know. Like, those guys will have practice squad eligibility. They could bring them back that way and stash some extra offensive linemen there. But if you go heavy on wide receiver, obviously it means you have to go lighter somewhere else.
Yep. And then, so what's, I mean, I heard you guys making a, you know, reference of Melton that corner. What do you think about that? What's the questions that you guys are asking about that? What's the reality of that? Is that
I will
that
bet
real?
You 5 goats that he does not play a single down in the regular season as a defensive back.
Or what's Matt saying about it?
So Matt actually approached him with this back in 2023 when he was on the practice squad. That was before he had the big game in Minnesota. It was before he had the touchdown catch in the playoffs in San Francisco. I mean, and look, he is on a team that does not have many clear-cut special teams core players anymore, right? They let Corey Ballantyne go. They let Robert Rochelle go. They let Eric Wilson go, who was such a key piece of that unit. You know, they brought back Christian Welch, who's another one of you Iowa guys, so he's a pretty great guy, but there's that one drawback that he went to Iowa. The fact of the matter is that Bo Melton's a really important piece for that group. So I think he is on this team regardless without playing a snap at corner. But I also think that, you know, he played it in high school. He started out there in college at Rutgers, and then they saw that he could catch
but
the ball better
than his brother.
But didn't
his brother laugh at this whole concept when somebody asked him?
His brother was pissed that he didn't tell him. And there's even some profanities exchanged that when Bo was retelling the story, because look, he's like, there is a skill set there. Now, do I think that it's typical for a player who is now in his third full NFL season to be going out there and switching the corner or playing both ways in a game? No. Did Bo say very clearly that he is not Travis Hunter? He didn't win a Heisman at Rutgers. Yes. But if there is a guy on their team that in a pinch could do it, I'm telling you, talking to the defensive backs and ones that I actually trust that aren't just going to say things just to say them, they all admitted they were surprised at how good he looked. So, no, do you want him out there on opening day against Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, you do not. But look at what they have at the position. Like, it's Nixon, it's Carrington Valentine, and it's Nate Hobbs. After that, it's Gregory Jr., who played 111 defensive snaps over 2 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are the only regular season or postseason NFL snaps on defense played by any other corner on the roster. So if you compare Bo not to the three guys that are your top three, but if you compare him to those other guys, he ain't that far off. He's at least played in a lot of NFL games.
But isn't that kind of where we have the problem? You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that kind of an issue? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'm just, Maybe
you're being
looking at it a certain way.
No, you're being totally fair, Brian. And look, I'm part of it because you know this, having known me for a really long time. I love a good story. And whether it's, you know, you telling stories about your dad, or it's, you know, Rogers telling the great story about him getting that letter from, was it Purdue? Good luck at your attempt at a college football career. Or it's a guy switching positions in minicamp. That is, you're the fisherman. Is that chum in the water? Is that what we would call that for me? I was part of it. I wrote about it twice. I wrote about it on Tuesday when he did it, and then I wrote about it Wednesday when he talked about it. So, but it was, as Homer and I debated last night, it certainly took the focus off of, man, your depth sucked if you're converting or at least having a wide receiver moonlight at the position.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. I don't know about always. Last night was there. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, Friends for Health in Haiti. I think I might bet him, Brian. I don't know if I would do five. I think Melton will play a down as a defensive back this year for the Packers.
I mean, I'm going to tell you this much. If that's the way the depth stays, he very well may.
Well, no, but I mean, it's going to be just somebody's hurt. To me, it's going to be like a fluky situation. I'm not as worried as you are about this is reflective of anything, because I think it's just something they had to talk about, and you've admitted and talked about these things. These are so unlike practices, no one knows what to call them, right? I'll let you tell us what we should call them next.